This is Rodney Greenblatt from Catskill, and you're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM.
WGXC welcomes audio responses from listeners. Anyone can call and leave a message with WGXC, and we'll play it on the air. Call 518-291-WGXC and leave up to a 3-minute message for airplay. Hear something you disagree with? Want to speak out on an issue? Plug your band's show? Let your neighbors know something important? Call 518-291-9492 and leave a 3-minute message anytime about any issue. That number again is 518-291-WGXC. 518-291-9492.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
I'm Tom Rowe with the Week in News for WGXC's Hudson Valley listening area. This week there were many local swearings in local town halls this week, and in Washington, D.C. too, where Antonio Delgado took over representing New York's 19th congressional district from John Faso. Sarah Trafton reported in Columbia Green Media that there were more changes locally in the Greene County legislature than anywhere else with swearing-in ceremonies. There were 5 new members taking the oath of office January 2nd there, with Republicans expanding their majority from 8-6 to 12-2. Patrick Linger, a Republican from New Baltimore, is the new chairperson of the legislature, replacing Kevin Lewis from Greenville, who did not seek re-election. In Columbia County, Bernadette Powis was sworn in as Columbia County's new coroner at the January 2nd Columbia County Board of Supervisors meeting. Local state senator George Amador, a Republican, was named minority chair of the Housing, Construction, and Community Development Committee and the Mental Health and Developmental Disabilities Committee in Albany. State Senator Daphne Jordan, Republican from Half Moon, was named the ranking minority member on the Senate's Racing, Gaming, and Wagering Committee and the ranking minority member on the Senate's Native American Relations Subcommittee. And Helen Rose Schneider reports for the Altamont Enterprise that, quote, Aline Galgay, who did not seek reappointment as Westerlo's town attorney, was appointed the prosecuting attorney for traffic court there. Galgay is also representing Steve Fleshing, who will appear in Westerlo's court for stealing town funds in Rensselaerville while supervisor. In other news this week, William J. Kemble reported in the Daily Freeman that Amtrak will hold one of 2 public meetings January 29th required by State Department of State as the railroad tries to block public access to the Hudson River at 7 locations between Rhinecliffe and Stuyvesant. The meeting will be held at 5 p.m. January 29th at the Kellner Community Activity Center at 50 Palatine Park Road in Germantown with a February 5th snow date. Bill Williams reported for WCTW-FM The Cat that the United Way of Columbia and Greene Counties announced this week that effective later this month, service to Greene and Columbia Counties will be subsumed by the United Way of the Greater Capital Region headquartered in Albany, so no more local chapter. Spectrum News reported that while a federal lawsuit filed days ago alleges inmates from New York City are being sent to Albany County for solitary confinement, Albany County Sheriff Craig Apple says, quote, there is no solitary confinement at Albany County Jail, unquote. In 2015, New York City banned solitary confinement for inmates under the age of 22. The federal lawsuit also claims Albany County Jail staffers beat the young inmates and forcibly conducted rectal searches. Albany County has received about $8.1 million this year for boarders from other facilities, much of it from the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency. Read the full story at Spectrum News. This is Tom Rowe. You can find out more about all these stories in the newsroom at WGXC.org. Tune into the radio Sunday, January 6th, Radio for Open Ears on 90.7 FM. The Jazz Disturbance with Cheryl Kay is on live at 11 a.m. from the First Presbyterian Church in Hudson, a special four-hour edition until 3 p.m. Thatcher Keats is in at 6 p.m. for the Rancho Thatchmo Show, live from the First Presbyterian Church in Hudson. Then Tony Fallon is in Acre, live at the Wave Farm Study Center for the Irish Show at 8 p.m. on Sunday, January 6th on 90.7 FM.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported hands-on radio for Greene and Columbia counties. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Tony. I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Amelia, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Ingrid. I'm 19, and I'm also from Hudson.
Yay!
Yay!
And we're here every week talking about books. Books we love. Books we're currently reading.
Books we hate.
Never. All that good stuff. To quote Quinn Gunter.
We never
original
forget.
Bound by Booksers. We never forget.
Quinn. Come back.
We should write a history of Bound by Books and make it a book.
Oh. And bind it.
That's kind of meta.
Bind it.
Isn't it?
It would be.
I would be down for that. We can be like historians.
Yeah. That would be cool.
Bound by history. I really like that idea now. I might actually do it.
Make it happen.
Yeah.
New zine project.
I might have to do some interviews.
Cool.
I think that Maddie goes to Cornell now.
Yeah, but she's in India.
Yeah, what the heck?
What?
Why is
it's
that
really fun
so
to
distance?
Watch her adventures.
It's really fun to watch everyone's adventures.
Yay.
I'm like, you go
for it. We're still here, though.
Like us. We're here at,
hey,
in
you went
the
to
basement
California.
Of the First Presbyterian Church.
Yeah.
Quite the adventure. But anyways, we're really happy to have Ingrid and Tony with us today, two of the original Bound by Booksers. Is that a thing? Bound by Booksers?
Sure.
I want a shirt.
Yeah. They're back from college.
Colegio.
We haven't heard what they've been reading lately, so we're curious to hear. And then Amelia and I also have things to share, of course, because we're always here and always reading.
Mm-hmm. I'm so happy that is true.
Yeah. But who wants to get us started off talking about a book they've been reading?
I guess I could start. My friend lent me a copy of a bunch of short stories, like The Most Beautiful Woman in Town by Bukowski. I'm going to start off by saying I don't like Bukowski as a person, but he does have pretty good writing skills. So this is just like a collection of his short stories, and so far my favorite one has been, let me just look through the Life and Death in the Charity Ward, which basically he's like in a charity ward about to die, and I'm like, wow, nice. A different story from the usual, like, booze and sex that Bukowski is all about. That sounds weird, but that's my opinion on that. So yeah, there's lots of cool stories. I prefer his poetry, I think, but he's got an interesting life, and it's really cool to read about how he lived. He was born in 1920, wow, in Germany, and brought to America at the age of 2. I'm just reading the back of the book now.
Awesome.
Yeah. That's been really fun. At school, I've been reading lots of textbooks and everything, so it's always harder to read at school. But for my New Black Ethnographies class, which was part of my anthropology minor, I got to write a book report on a science fiction novel. Ooh. So I read, I think it was Necromancer or something.
That is a title.
Yeah, yeah. I should probably look that up because I don't want to talk about the wrong title of a book, but it was really good.
Is that fun to get a break from textbook reading?
Well, I still had to do textbook reading. Yeah. Wow. So I was kind of like, wow, throw a whole book on it. But no, it was fun. I definitely enjoyed getting to write a book report as a homework assignment because I felt like I was in like third grade when you're like learning how to write book reports. But yeah, overall, it's been cool learning like reading textbooks and everything too. Like at school, I just feel really lucky to be in like the creative writing department because I started a class called Narrative Techniques this semester, and, like, I would open up the textbook, which is just, like, all these cool, like, little tips about writing short stories and everything, and I would just be, like, so happy to read it. I'm like, wow, this is so cool. I'm learning so much. I think that's the reading I enjoyed the most this semester was my Narrative Techniques textbook.
Sweet. Do you want me to go?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was thinking about what book to talk about because I actually read so many books for fun this past semester because I transferred to a different school and it was really easy and we didn't do a lot of reading. We did some textbook reading, but yeah, I'm in a lot of art classes and they're not super reading heavy. So I was like, I don't know what to talk about, but I think that the book that had the greatest impact and like the one that I think about the most that I read this like recently was A Lover's Discourse by Roland Barthes. And have you read it?
I like
Emily?
A good Barthes. I haven't read that one, but I've read other stuff by him.
So all of my friends are like critical theory majors and they read all this cool stuff and they talk about it. And I never really got into it, but when I heard there was one that was just all about like being in love and loving and what it's like, I was like, yes, I'm there for that. And my friend kept on like quoting it on her Instagram and I was like, I gotta see what this is all about. So I read it and it was really, really awesome. Pretty much it's literary like theory and analysis, so it's not like narrative. But it's told in little like fragments, like couple page worth things that are each like based on some idea that he has about love, and then he's using all sorts of sources like Goethe and like Zen and like Nietzsche and just all sorts of whatever stuff, and sort of condensing and picking and choosing different ideas that they had about this one subject that he's dealing with and putting it into a book. And it's great because I love romances and this was just like a really distilled version of that. And it was super relatable and it was great. Yeah.
I love that.
I didn't realize that you loved romances.
I did.
Do you have a favorite romance novel?
Well, so I struggle a lot. This is a big problem. And if anyone has any recommendations, they should send them my way. But I love romances, but I also really, really love reading classics. And so I'm always looking for something that hits both of those because I'm not just going to read not a classic.
Too cool for that.
Well, no, I just I don't have time, you know? It's got to be worth it. And so one of the books that that Barthes seemed to really, really love and quoted a bunch was The Sorrows of Young Werther by Goethe. So I decided I would pick that up and it was really, really good. Also, maybe I will talk about it on another show. It was awesome. But also stuff like Henry and June by Anais Nin and like Breakfast at Tiffany's long time ago, throwing it back to,
I remember when you used to talk about Breakfast at Tiffany's on the radio.
It's a good book. So many years ago.
The old days.
But yeah.
Yeah. I ended up reading Written on the Body because of you.
Oh, really?
Like, I ended up, like, you lent it to me for a long time, and I never read it, and then I ended up buying it this summer and actually reading it.
Isn't it so good?
I love it. Yeah. I lent it to the friend who gave me the Bukowski book.
Oh,
so
great.
I was like, yeah, read it.
So, Amelia, what have you been reading lately?
I've been reading Slender Man by no one. There is no author on the cover, and we can't figure out who the I've looked up who the author is online, and I still don't know who he is.
Some creeper.
Probably. But
I like the cover. It's got like
shiny. The cover is pretty cool. It's got like this shiny little tendrils. Shiny effect on it. It's about this boy named Matt Barker who's looking into the disappearance of his friend Lauren Bailey. And they're all in high school. And the way it's written is really cool. Because it'll be written, like, from the perspective of Matt in his journal in first person. And then it'll skip to, like, transcripts of interrogations as they're investigating her disappearance. Or texts between her friends. So it just kind of, like, switches up every so often. That makes it kind of, like, fun to read. Because, like, oh, what part's going to come next? Is going to be an email segment? Is going to be another interrogation segment? It's pretty cool.
Awesome.
It's better than I thought it was going to be, actually.
Yeah. I really like the way they change formatting in that. I think that's, like, a really cool way. I want to experiment with that in my own writing. I like the way it goes from, like, emails to, like, text messages to newspaper bulletins. That's super duper cool.
I've always loved, like, books that change format like that, too. It's very cool. And then in, like, school, I'm reading The Great Gatsby, which is very good so far. And then I have a couple things I got for Christmas.
Yay!
Which is, surprise, another Wings of Fire book, the 12th one. I'm still not over that. And Lumberjanes, which you talked about before.
I love Lumberjanes. I haven't finished it yet, or it's still ongoing, but I haven't caught up yet. I think I've read 5 volumes, something like that. But so fun. Have you started that one yet?
Not yet.
It's like a really fun series with Lumberjanes are kind of like Girl Scouts, but not like Girl Scouts. But it's like a summer camp where they're doing badges and stuff like that. And it's all girls. And there's some fantastical stuff that happens at this camp. So they're always going on these adventures. And it's fun following their relationships. And
I looked at a few of the pages and it like gives off a Gravity Falls-like feeling, which is what I love. And in the back, I noticed they have, like, a bunch of, like, covers done by other artists, which is really cool.
Yeah, I think they do that a lot in these collections, collected volumes, because they have all of this work that gets created for the issues that come out. And so rather than just choosing one cover from an issue to put in, they figure out ways to share that artwork, which is always fun. So that's the one thing I miss about comics and issues, is the artwork is so great. But it's so expensive reading them that way.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I hope you like it.
Also, like, I noticed the same woman who worked on Nimona worked on this, which is like, oh, now I have to get it.
Yes, we love Nimona.
It's very good.
Have you all read Nimona?
No.
You should read Nimona. It's amazing.
What is it?
It's a graphic novel about Nimona. who, I'm trying to remember, she becomes the sidekick for...
I don't remember his name.
Oh,
I need
some
to reread
super
it now.
Villain?
She becomes a sidekick of a super villain.
Yeah.
And then it, like, gets more complicated from there.
And it's just very funny. There's, like, adventure and, like, funny jokes. And Nimona's awesome. And the artwork's really cute.
I think it started out as a webcomic because you can, like, see the art style change throughout the book.
Very nice. Well, I brought a couple books, but I don't know where I put them.
She searches for the books. She pulls them out of the book
bag. Boosh. I brought 2 books to share. So one of them is a book for kids, although I loved it, and I'm an adult, called The Mushroom Fan Club by Elise Gravel, which is an informational book about mushrooms that has lots of pictures in it
that
are drawings.
So fun.
And it's just so cute. And I had just been playing a game called Morels, which is a funny card game where you collect mushrooms to cook. It's more fun than it sounds. And so it was really fun reading this and seeing some of the mushrooms that I had collected. My favorite page in the whole book is a page where she says, "Some people know a lot more about mushrooms than I do. They are called mycologists. I am no expert. I'm an amateur. I just love looking at mushrooms. The proof that I'm no expert? I draw them with eyes." Because there's all these cute mushrooms with little smiley faces and eyes. They say, "Yeah, we don't have mouths either. And we can't speak."
Aww.
It's very cute. But highly suggested for any mushroom lovers out there, young or old.
I personally do not love mushrooms, but those mushrooms look really cute.
Mm-hmm. I love some mushrooms. I love looking at all mushrooms.
Yes, they are fun to look
at. I love eating some of them.
Mm. I love eating none of them. Keep that off my pizza.
It's kind of weird. I actually love mushrooms on pizza, and honestly, by themselves, they have no flavor, and so therefore it would stand to reason that on pizza they taste like pizza, because they taste like nothing, but just something about it is good to me.
They taste
like
pizza on pizza.
Are you taking a swing at me, Emmy?
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. I appreciate you.
I'm the minority in my class. No one else likes mushrooms on pizza, so I'm...
What about pineapple?
Ooh, I've never tried it, and I don't think I will. I don't know. Mm. Sweet and, savory stuff. A lot of people like it, but I don't.
I don't know about on my pizza.
What's your other book, Emily?
My other book is The Season of Styx Malone by Kekla Mogun, and it's a middle grade chapter book about two brothers, Caleb and Bobby Jean, who live in Indiana, and it's set over the summer, and it's about their relationship with their new neighbor, Styx Malone, who's older than them. They're 10 and 11, and he's 16, and they meet him in the woods, and he introduces them to the idea of the great escalator trade, which is basically the idea that you can trade a paperclip for a gumball or a pencil or something. And then you can trade the pencil for something else. And then you trade that and you keep trading up. And it's the idea that you can make a paperclip into a mansion. And so that becomes their mission for the summer, is trying to figure out how to escalator trade up to a moped that they want to get so that they can go explore.
Whoa, that sounds so fun.
But it's also funny. It all starts off at this picnic or barbecue where there's a neighbor friend who's the same age as Caleb. Oh, no, Bobby Jean is the older brother. And he has a big bag of fireworks, and they want it so badly, and they're trying to figure out what to trade him for or how they could possibly get it. And it turns out that this friend, Corey, has always wanted a little sister. And so they trade their baby sister for a bag of fireworks.
Oh my gosh.
And then they run off with the fireworks. And so that's how they get started on the great escalator trade.
Oh.
That's just such a funny start to a book. Yep, traded our baby sister.
I wonder if he ever got his sister back.
Well,
no spoilers. Yeah,
you can't really trade fireworks for a sister. Your parents won't let it happen.
Did they blow up the fireworks before the sister went back?
Hmm?
Did they blow up the fireworks before they took
they run
back?
Off with those fireworks.
Oh, I'm sure.
But they do get in trouble, and they have to do chores with Corey.
Darn.
For the summer. So that's the other thing they have to do that summer, is do their chores.
That's a darn travesty.
Yeah. Anyways, we have another guest with us. Yay! Woo-hoo! Fahim is here. Yay.
Welcome.
So we're going to hear from Fahim about a book that he's been reading. Welcome, Fahim.
Well, I have been reading Old Man and the Sea.
Yes!
We've been waiting for the day that you would read Old Man and the Sea to hear your opinion of it.
Well, it's about a old man.
And
he
the sea?
He goes to the sea and takes a lot of days in the sea and catches this huge fish. That's really...
Spoiler alert. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, it is? Oh,
no, I'm just kidding.
See?
What do you think of Old Man in the Sea?
Out
of 10, what would you rate it?
Are negative numbers level?
That's hilarious. Sorry. So you didn't like it?
I did, but mostly no.
Mostly no?
Why not?
Well, it just talks about him in the sea, which is it's one time I read this book. It was about this boy in the an elevator, going up. It's so hard to explain. It's just amaze me. So yeah.
I can't exactly put into words how boring Old Man in the Sea is either, so...
It's so tragic.
It was 100 plus pages of a guy sea chasing a fish, and it's not even exciting. Like, you see the cover and it's this huge marlin like jumping out of the water and this guy like wrestling it with the fishing line. You think this is going to be cool. It's not.
The bird. Did you finish it? Did you read that ending? Oh my god.
Did I finish it? Yeah, I finished it. I read the ending. I got through all those pages for nothing.
So what's even sadder than how little people enjoy Old Man in the Sea is how we're just about out of time. So stay tuned next week. Don't stay tuned. Come back next week and listen to more.
But also stay
about
tuned.
Old Man in the Sea.
For the whole entire week.
We'll be back. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bright fairy dust, the wings plucked nightly. From the New Year's baby, his diaper full with expectations for the new year. His large head breaking through the sun shadows of yesteryear, the darkness following you through a nightmare zone of your own making. Your responsibilities are to the King of Justice and gnarled roots sweating birch sap into your medicine bag. 2019, you're a bummer already, 'cause you've broken every promise to the sun and the moon god. The one who told me you'd be out of jail by 9:30 p.m. But you're stuck there in your skull town, scraping the remnants from the inside of the hairline. I see you in the night, looking through the files, possibly finding a discrepancy, one that you may seize upon for your own enjoyment, your sick enjoyment. 2019, you're a baby, killed by an old man called 2018. He had a scythe. He wheated for you in the wheat field. Then he waited for you in the wheat field with his scythe sharpened by a crow's tooth. He feels you, but do you feel him? Do you feel his icy touch upon your scapula as you pull back from his prehensile, primitive fingernail scraping technique that he uses to find out if you're telling the truth or not? 2018, the old man, he died. He imploded with a blood bag under each eye. He put it in there with the poison toad toes. Those are the toes of a poison toad, just in case that wasn't clear to you. And then 2019 rolled through like the old baby that it always does. He felt it deeply inside his little region, a region he hasn't visited in many years. He had a little cramp, a cramp and a freak. He had a crampy freak time. He was rocking and rolling, and then he had a jam box, and he put it in the old shadow zone to be melted by the sun, to be melted by everyone that he knew in his group. They grew tired of listening to his lies about discrepancies and sunshine parameters. Where did I leave the car? And where am I going next week? And what kind of dentist is better, holistic or normal? And then they want to know where the normal people are hanging out. And I said, 2019, you're getting old pretty quick. Remember, 2018, he's just an old man. Old man, 2018. He pooped himself a winner and popped out for a couple years. He'll be back in 2022 to punch you in the face with the end of an ice cube. It's stuck in the glove that he left at your house. He tried to strangle you with it, but he was so bored he fell asleep. 2019, you're a f***, and I love you. I love you more than I could possibly say. When will you come back? Come back to me. Come back to me now.
You know those people that you're always talking to on Instagram and you're chatting back and forth and you're like, hey, I like your picture of your face. It's really cool. And, hello? A lot of times on Instagram you'll be scrolling through and you'll see somebody and you'll be like, oh, I love their music, and you'll like their post, and then they'll re-like you or add you as a friend, and then you're like, oh, I'm best friends with this guy now, I'm sure of it. Well, a couple of years ago, Gelato Negro had put out a record that I thought was amazing, and I played it a lot on my radio show, and ended up having kind of an Instagram bro-ship with them, and love him and what he's making. Gelato Negro is sort of like this synthesis of all the things that became a little bit more popular, and I won't have to tell you exactly who they are because you can hear them in his voice. But he is the originator of some amazing, amazing sounds, and this is some brand new stuff. I don't know how to pronounce it. Pais Nublado? P-A-I-S. Get any pronunciation key there? P-A-I-S. Pais? Pais? I don't know. I like to do anything to do with ice cream. I'm down. Gelato Negro right now. Brand new. Battlefield Earth.
obsesionado con mi boca, habla sin respirar, despacio te digo, porque nos falta un tiempo más para pasear este país nublado, este país nublado. Para pasear este país nublado, este país nublado. And I, having lost my mind, thinking about you. And I, having lost my breath, shouting all the things we're about to do. And we'll take our turn, and we'll take our time, knowing that we'll be here long after you. Para pasear este país nublado, este país nublado. Para pasear este país nublado, este país nublado.
See what I mean? It's like a gentle tropical breeze blowing through your coquito. Ah, man, I don't have to get into why music like that is so good, because it just is.
The Zelos Quartet performs Sunday, January 6th at the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill. Let's hear one of their pieces. This is by Stephen Dankner, Movement 1. Thank you.
That was the Zelos Saxophone Quartet that's performing Sunday, January 6th at the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill.
Comrades, you are in tune to WGXC 90.7 FM. This is a Poet Radio program. My name is Chris, the host. December 2018, roughly the 39th installment of Poet Radio. My guest today is a resident of Kingston who comes to originally comes from Poland, Dorota Czerner. Better for you to introduce yourself than me, I think. So
okay.
Take it away.
I think you actually did an incredibly good job pronouncing my name. That I usually go just by Dorota, and that's what's written on my car. If you see a little red bug in the Hudson Valley which says Dorota on it, that's mine. The second, my family name is Czerner. I come from the city of Wrocław, also known as Breslau. It's a very large city in the west-south of Poland. The population of the city of Wrocław is roughly the same as the population as of Iceland. So it's about 500,000 people. I very quickly give you the idea of what Wrocław is because it has a certain influence on my poetic practice. Wrocław originated at the intersection of two major trade routes, the Via Regia and the Amber Road. And from 6th century onward, Ślązianie, a Slavic tribe who took their name from a large volcanic mountain outside of the city, established a fortified wooden settlement on the Tumski Island, right in the heart of the city, on the River Odra. The city was first recorded in the 10th century as Vratislavia, as a Bohemian settlement, so Czech-speaking people. And during the Middle Ages, the city changed hands frequently between the Bohemians and the Polish crown. So you already had Polish-speaking people, you had Czech-speaking people, and because it was a very important trading center, you also have Valens, Jews, and Germans. And basically until the first Mongol invasion, which was sometime mid-13th century, the city was Slavic. And that's from that point on, there was a strong influx of German population. And the city, now known as Breslau, established as under the Germanic town law, remain in the hands of the Germans until the Second World War.
Hmm. So does that, the historical reputation of the city, is that maintained through the present?
Yes, definitely. It is a very cosmopolitan city. It's a city which is about 3 hours drive from Berlin and is a city very strong in the arts. For example, Grotowski and his theater were established in Wrocław. Many art centers, there is a wonderful center for new media art, is in Wrocław. So there is a continuous influx of population speaking many languages. Also walking through the town and looking at its architecture, you see the evidence of all these languages. Mm. You know, there are old inscriptions in Latin, in Czech, in German, in Polish. So you grow up understanding that there were many people here.
Mm-hmm. What about the Bohemianism that you mentioned? Does that still thrive? And
there is a small speaking minority of Czech people, and we're not so far from Prague, so we go there. But the main cultural centers are Polish and German. But there is something much more, there is something on top of that, there's something very interesting about Wrocław and its linguistic landscape, is that it was a beloved city of Adolf Hitler, who did not want to give it up without a fight. So the Battle of Wrocław was very long. It took 3 months. Between mid-February and the 6th of May 1945, where the Russian army and the Polish army finally reached Wrocław, and the Germans had to go. They went towards Dresden, which was under heavy bombing, so many of the German inhabitants of Wrocław didn't survive. But the new people, including my family, entered this city which was completely flattened. It was just one big ruin. And the people who came there mostly came from the east of Poland. Because after the Yalta agreements, the borders were moved. So all the people, like my family, who lived in Lvov, who lived in Vilnius, in Lithuania, found themselves now in the borders of the Soviet Union. And they were relocating to Poland. So from the extreme east of Poland, now they're going west. Bringing with them the accent. And the very...
I was wondering where that came from.
Yes, well, the people who lived there, and Lvov was a huge literary and cultural center between the two wars, the people spoke with a very specific, very melodious accent, probably because it was also influenced by Russian and Ukrainian, who are much more tonic and singing languages. So suddenly, in the western part of Poland, you had these people who spoke like aliens, basically. And that's how my family spoke, how everybody around me spoke. I speak like that to this day.
You were saying that the place, the city where you come from, had an influence on you. And yes. I was wondering, maybe you could talk about that, or even read something that that connects that all together.
Yeah, I will read that passage, because the first thing is that everybody, a generation above me, had this a strong sense of exile and of loss of things that were left behind. In that place to which they will never return, because it's now in the Soviet Union. And we were told that these things had some kind of... they are better, they are bigger, they are brighter. You know, it's almost like we live in some sense of a platonic cave where, you know, we live in the shadows and the real, real stuff is in those territories that were lost. And also... that strange melody of the language that is just singing, and this is how you speak. But when you go to school, you realize that other people, other Polish people, speak differently. So there is always this gap.
So that's interesting. But they always try to, even in in my family, they would try to get rid of accents. Mm-hmm. You know, so schools, of course, they don't. They want the same language spoken in the same register or something. You know, can't have people speaking the same language that it sounds different, right?
Yes, yes, yes. Well, this is just as specific. I don't know. I would maybe compare it to the way that people in the South have this southern.
Sure.
A little bit of that, but at the same time, it was a very correct literary form of language. So it was just the music embedded in the voice. So I will read from the text, which was published in 2005 on a German international website called Foreigner. I believe it's foreigner.de. And it's the title of this is Notes of Myself and Others in Between Myself. And I'll just read a tiny fragment which speaks a little bit about those matters. Between the sun and the eyes, the arabesques of the unknown. Bitterness or innocence, release, or most likely both, manifesting in turn and turnabout, depending how often and with what individual persistence the root awareness of inadequacy of one's own internal mold in relation to the landscapes here, the country here, the shape of buildings, the oval of the faces is being invoked, the innate willingness or reluctance to accept the gap. The lilies of the valley, convalia, there were immense. There came to our knees, there meaning in Borislavian forest, in the gardens of Lvov, my grandmother would say every month of May. then another generation born with a gap engraved onto the retina after they moved west, after they entered the villa on the Vitellona street and sat down to a table, looking each other in the eye across the extraordinary despair of a white cloth, laid with silverware and Dresden china, someone's hand holding the salt, like their own, the owned now, salt with all that's beside, their Sundays, meant for the union in us, our family, in a German house. But grandma's lilies of the valley, obediently disintegrated shapes of my imagination, to make them happen somewhere else for real, construing other versions of what is brighter, more desirable, a garden growing better far away, a green thumb of the distancing against the blurredness found in the material quality of the present flowers, or even the sound of the name, dislodged, sound and mind. And there is a wonderful quote from Clayton Eshelman's Note on Exile in Paradise, to which I often look to, you know, for information. All poets are running, wave people, Liu Wang, wandering in escape. We've lost our master and are glad. We are trailing our leashes. Our leashes track what we've escaped. The despise exile, we despise exile, or there is no